When I went to the Senate in 2011, Senator Coons from Delaware and I formed the Law Enforcement Caucus. We've been effective and helpful, I think, on a number of these law enforcement issues. One was the Victims of Child Abuse Act that he and I co-sponsored that we were able to get reauthorized. Had a lot of law enforcement support for the Excellence in Mental Health Act that Senator Stabenow and I did. And there are a number of other things out there, like many things in this Congress, that aren't done yet. But law enforcement issues are important. I wanted to talk generally about that, but particularly about the two programs, the Homeland Security Program and the Military Surplus Program, the 1033 program, how that equipment is used, how that process has worked. A lot of what I heard here is a lot of that money in our state has gone into communication like it has lots of other places, but also the defensive vehicles like the three vehicles that were used in Ferguson are available generally around the state and used for that kind of purpose. I've heard stories today about moving that between a shooter in a house and the door of an elementary school, about some of these vehicles, sort of the rescue vehicle of last resort, as they were at least one time in Ferguson, where a vehicle went in and got a civilian that had been shot by another civilian in a location that there was no way you would have ever gotten an ambulance to in that particular environment. So just want to know for sure the kinds of tactics, the moments you use these, and I've had several good meetings today to talk about that.
Since we weren't able to hear what the officers said, Are you hearing mostly they like the way things are going, or are you hearing recommendations for change?
Well, no, I actually wanted to talk to the officers about the tactics they use, and so that was my decision to have that kind of discussion here. As you know, most of the things we do are usually pretty open, but that was a discussion. I really know, how do you use this? When do you decide whether to use it or not? The kind of information I thought I probably wouldn't have gotten in a more open meeting. I think that generally one of the things that the people have told me all over the state in the last couple of months is if these this equipment's available, it's widely shared. But it's also needs to be where you can get to it. You know, if you've got a school shooting and you want to get a defensive vehicle as close to the school as you can, you don't want that vehicle to start 500 miles away. Actually, if you had your choice, you'd probably want it to be about five blocks away. It's usually not going to be five blocks away, but in our state, usually something fairly close can be made available. And one of the things all the departments and officers have emphasized is how much sharing there is of the equipment. And the equipment's used like at Ferguson. The best analogy of that would be a Brinks truck. You know, defensive, not offensive, bulletproof, with the bullets shot at all of those vehicles to prove they were shot at, and lots of damage to other police vehicles before those vehicles became sort of the primary forward rallying point. And so it's good to know how both the Homeland Security Program works, whereas where those vehicles have generally come from, and just the Military Surplus Program. I thought one of the interesting things that came out of the hearing on the Military Surplus Program was how much of that equipment has never been used. Now, that's a federal question. Why would we have 39% of the military surplus equipment never used? How did we manage to over-order that? Or another federal question would be, why does the Department of Education need a SWAT team? My view, not a federal question. What kind of uniforms local law enforcement should wear at what moment, or when they should put their ballistic protection helmet on, or what kind of equipment they need. But we're going to know more about all of these things as a country in the next few months than we did a few months ago.
Do you think this idea of tying federal funding for law enforcement programs to these body cams is a good idea?
I doubt. I think you need to look at the body cam program as to really what the cost is, what that means, how you maintain all of that information, how long you maintain it. And all of these federal programs have to be signed off on somewhere at the state level. So I'm of the view that the state is not going to let somebody have a piece of equipment that they can't possibly use. You know, often the like the Humvee, even an MRAP Humvee, becomes the rescue vehicle of last resort. And I could give you more than a handful of examples of how they've been used for that. Now, do you need a body cam to have a Humvee that the federal government paid $500,000 for that you get as a surplus vehicle for $1,500? Probably you don't need a body cam for that.
Do you think there's adequate training associated with
it? I answered your question.
Yeah, people in Ferguson were complaining that the way the MRAP was used there seemed to antagonize the crowd, the way it was shown, the way it showed up, the way it was used. Any concerns about that either on your part or anything voiced in your?
You know, I think I saw that Chief Belmar, who's an 1,100 person force. This is not a small law enforcement group, nor are they unprepared to do things. But until you've done something like that, you don't know how you'd look back and do it differently. And I've seen statements he's made in the last couple of days of things they would do differently if they were doing it again. And I'm sure they're widely sharing that. I think from my discussions with them early on, one of the reasons that the armored vehicles went in, the defensive armored car kind of vehicles, was that they went in to get officers who the normal patrol cars were beginning to have the first of the $100,000+ of damage done to them, and officers in those cars said, somebody needs to come in here and get us out. So, you know, that's a decision that's easy in retrospect to make. When did you bring in what you brought in? But probably not nearly that easy to make at the moment when you're dealing with something like that you didn't think you were going to deal with. The important thing for law enforcement as a community is to come home at night. Otherwise, people won't do these jobs that protect us. And, of course, there are rights that citizens have that need to be protected, too. But you have to have that decision made, and it needs to be made as close to where the problem is as practical. And Washington, D.C. is almost never going to be that place. Now, it's not like Washington, D.C. is getting everything they need to get done exactly right, that now they can decide what local equipment that's surplus by the federal government somebody can qualify to get in the state.
You said almost 40% of this military surplus gear is not being used. Do you think possibly tighter cost-benefit analyses might be needed?
What I said was that 40% of the surplus equipment, 39% based on what I read from those hearings, had never been used. So I would think that would be a legitimate federal question to ask. Why would we have that much over-purchasing of equipment that was then later surplused out in a local way? The point I'm trying to make here is there are plenty of questions the federal government to ask itself about these programs. But all of the discussion about what the police wore when they decided to wear it, whether or not, you know, you could, I certainly if you were casually or maybe not too casually look at this, you'd had the impression maybe there were tanks that the police had. There were no offensive capability there at all. It was all defensive. And fortunately, a lot of people went home at night, both civilians and police, because that equipment was there. A couple more, then I've got to go.
You've been a big proponent of local control, local decision-making, as opposed to things done in Washington.
Right.
One of the arguments that keeps being made, though, for a national policy is that things would be consistent, that what happens in Ferguson could happen in Oakland or Detroit or whatever. How do you balance those two?
Well, I think you balance those pretty easily. One is that you are going to make a better decision if you make it close to where the problem is. And two is, the country is very different, just like our state is very different. You know, when I was meeting with Northwest Missouri sheriffs and police officers today, they said, you know, almost all of our concerns are different than if you were in Kansas City or St. Louis. And, of course, they're right. So you need to be sure that you're making the kind of decisions that meet the needs of your community and the way to keep your community safe and, at the same time, respect people's rights and their opportunities as citizens.
So what will you be taking back to Washington that you'll be talking about either in committee hearings or among other senators?
You know, I think how you get this equipment, how it's used, the multiple purposes of it, and really the diversity of the programs, from everything from communications equipment to the bear and the bear cat, which is essentially, if you haven't ever seen one, look for the armored car driving around town from bank, leaving the bank. That's what they look like. That's what they are. They're defensive in nature. They're used that way. If the federal government has these, most of those come through Homeland Security. I'm sure whenever people were looking for the Boston bomber, there was no discussion about whether they had too much equipment or not. You get the last question.
I just want to be clear, Senator. It sounds like, if I'm understanding you right, you support the continuation of these Homeland Security grants or surplus military equipment programs for the local police.
I think if you've got surplus military equipment, or if Homeland Security thinks there is a local need that you don't have the equipment for and they want to help you meet that need, those programs should be continued. But I also believe they should be carefully looked at to be sure that money is being spent well, those federal taxpayer dollars are being spent well. I think that's much more of what the federal concern should be than whether the local law enforcement people need that equipment or not. First of all, if it's Homeland Security equipment, somebody at the state level signs off on it, I understand, anyhow. If it's surplus equipment, there's no reason for taxpayers to pay two times to get a Humvee that they could use locally to get to rescue somebody, to be available if they have a problem at their schools. Probably there are some questions here, but they're more to be asked about the nature of the program itself than they are the recipients of the program, because I think there's a pretty good process that evaluates that. Okay? Got to go. Thank you all.
Who are you here today? Who did you talk with?
There were a couple of sheriffs, a couple of police chiefs, and then representatives of the associations here, like the Police Chiefs Association and the Sheriff's Association.